Next on BYUSN, what does BYU's record need to be against the 5 ranked teams on the schedule in order to feel confident about making a bowl game? Plus, what 3 games on the schedule will define the season for the Cougars in year 2 of the Big 12? We'll break it down.
The golden tones of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, going to join us to talk about what he's learned and what he hopes to still find out about this BYU team during fall camp. And it's the Big 12 against the Big 10. Allie Fryer, BYU Women's Soccer, going to preview tomorrow's top 20 matchup at Southfield against Wisconsin.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Wednesday, August 14th. I am Jason Shepherd. He is someone who has watched the LJ Martin highlight, the long run on a loop since last night. He is Dave McCann.
You know, everyone likes to start a new day with good news. I like to get out of the kitchen and see an unopened box of Fruit Loops just sitting there waiting for me. Well, when it comes to football and LJ Martin, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting to see when he'd be in full uniform in team drills where he might get dinged up a little bit. And lo and behold, we got it yesterday at practice, and this video was released online by the Cougars, and there he goes.
Love it.
And, you know, it's not about anything other than there he goes. He's on the field. He's practicing in team drills. That's a big deal. How big of a deal?
It's a major deal, and just to see him out there, visual evidence, visual proof that he's out there and he looked good, that should give every BYU fan optimism to start their day today.
Because we've shown Hinkley Rapati looking good, we've shown Miles Davis looking good, and if LJ can get close to 100%, that would be 3 backs all capable of doing big things here in about 2 weeks.
That's right. Fruit Loops, is that your go-to, by the way?
It is lately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fruit Loops guy. Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, I thought you maybe were like a Cinnamon Life guy.
No, I'm more of a health guy.
Okay.
So I like the fruit.
All right. Well, now I want cereal. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. 5 Big 12 teams were included in those rankings. Of course, BYU happens to play all 5 of them.
It's just incredibly competitive. Part of the reason is how deep this conference is.
Multiple players have to be exceptional.
The preseason AP poll was released on Monday, and 5 Big 12 teams were included in those rankings. All 5 of those teams are also on BYU's schedule this season. So, Dave, what does BYU's record need to be against those 5 preseason ranked teams in order to feel confident that BYU is going to make a bowl?
Okay, folks at home, think about this too, because we're going to give you a chance to chime in. 5 ranked opponents, how many do they need to beat in addition to their other wins to get to at least 6 games? And I think it's 2. I think they got to go 2 and 3 against the 5 if you're seeking the bare minimum. But then I also say, if you can beat 2 of those 5, why can't you beat the others? You know, if you can beat Kansas State and Oklahoma State, why can't you beat Kansas? Why can't you beat Arizona? So I just think there's such a fine line between having a super season and having a disappointing one. But I think 2 wins gets them in the mix. If they get 2, they should get 5 of the 7. And that would give them a 7-5 season. 3-2 makes you a contender in the conference. You go 8-4. 4-1, meaning 4 of those 5 you win the conference and you're in the playoff. And the beauty of it all is 4 of those 5 are in your own football stadium.
Yes, you have an opportunity here.
There is so much that goes into the environment at Lavelle Edwards Stadium to help you win. And we've seen, you go back to Arizona State when they had 16 penalties. I think The Rock was responsible for 9 of them. It's all set up right there for best chance. Best chance to get to a bowl game, play 4 of your 5 toughest games in your stadium, and at least get 2. If you get more than that, suddenly you're having a season beyond expectation. Las Vegas will be on their head trying to figure out, hey, they won more than 4 games. Well, they get 4 of the 5 of these teams in their own place.
I'm with
you. What do you think?
I think the bare minimum is 2. If you can win at least 2 of the 5, you are setting yourself up well to get to at least the 6-win threshold with the other games on your schedule that you should win. So I'm going under the assumption that worst case scenario non-conference is 2-1. BYU absolutely should go 3-0. You should be able to go, yes, I understand you're going at SMU and you're going to at Wyoming, But let's just say worst case scenario is you drop one of those. Okay. So you're 2-1. Then you get 2 wins versus the ranked teams. That gives you 4 wins. Then you have a home game versus Houston. BYU is going to win that game. That's 5. And then you still have games at ASU and at Baylor, both winnable. And so you need just one of those just to get to 6, just to get to the bare minimum. And that's what we're just talking about. That's the bare minimum. That doesn't say if BYU, instead of getting 2 against the 5, gets 3. And then you're upping that to maybe, then you're up to 7. If you can really get on a roll and you start 3-0 in non-conference, you're already at 6. You have a chance for possibly 8 wins.
Yeah.
So it, to me, the minimum you have to win in those 5 games is at least 2. And to your point, the fact that you have 4 of the 5 in your building is a major plus for BYU, despite how difficult the schedule is and the actual opponents that you're playing.
Yeah, and you look at 2020, was it 21, when BYU beat the Pac-12, and they had 5 of them, it seemed like, they went 5-0 against
5-0,
the Pac-12.
We've got the banner somewhere.
And they had a handful of them here in Provo, and including Virginia from the ACC. And they just got on a roll, and they Arizona State was ranked, Utah was ranked, beat them all. Turned into a very fun season. One, because they defended their home turf, and this is a fun thought to think about. When you look at the schedule, you don't go, well, what's the 6 games we could lose? It's what's the 6 games you can win, only because that's the threshold. That's the separation of the postseason or no postseason. BYU fans have higher expectation of 7 or 8, maybe a little bit more, where the outside world has lower expectations, and that's going to clash. Either they know what they're talking about, or we know what we're talking about. But we're going to find out here coming up. But in that mix, to get to 6, the bare minimum, yeah, they got to get 2 of those 5 ranked opponents. And you know what? That's not a stretch.
No, it's not.
If you're playing all 5 on the road, maybe that's a stretch, but it's not the case.
Look, in a lot of this, we all are still remembering the deficiencies that we saw last year.
Sure.
And so I think we're somewhat projecting that the same issues that BYU had last year are going to be the same issues that they're going to have this year. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. I like the steps that the Cougars took to try and rectify those situations in terms of bringing in a new offensive line coach. And now, hey, we were just talking about seeing L.J. Martin back. The fact that you've got these guys, L.J., how close to 100%, we don't know. But if he's available, you have a healthy Hinkley Rapati and Miles Davis. You know, you have these guys that can all give you something. So you expect the offensive line play to be significantly better. You expect the run game to be able to be better. You know, what you get out of the quarterback, again, right now we're still waiting to find out who that is, but with time and protection, either one of these guys should be able to make plays to the weapons they have around them. So instead of looking at all the things that went wrong last year and saying, well, those are the exact same things, and sort of prognosticating on win and loss based off of last year's deficiencies, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, and we're optimists, but when you consider the gulf between BYU winning the Big 12 last year and not was pretty wide.
Yep.
The distance between BYU and the postseason is a couple of yards, maybe a tackle or one less 100-yard pick 6. And then we're having a whole different conversation. Suddenly it was 7-5. They went 7-5 in their first year as a P4. You know, maybe they don't make those changes.
Right.
Maybe they don't get the kind of guys they got. Maybe the guys don't work as hard in the offseason because they had to sit home during the bowl season. Maybe those things happen if a couple of plays had happened differently. Well, those plays didn't happen differently. So all the fixes are in, and the improvements and the coaching changes and whatnot. So can you be 3 plays better? If we're just talking about getting to a bowl game, can you be 3 plays better with a better home schedule? Not an easier home schedule, a better home schedule against the big opponents in the league. Feels like the answer is yes.
Yeah.
And certainly possible.
Sure. Certainly. Sure. Certainly.
So in that same vein, let's pick 3 games that you think are the 3 games that will define this season. They don't have to just be the 5 we're talking
right,
about.
Right, yeah.
3 games of the 12 that you think will define where BYU goes.
Yeah, and look, I can certainly understand anybody that would pick 3 of the 5 that we right. just talked about. 3 games against the ranked teams because, well, of course, that would certainly define, especially if it's good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if you get 3, then you're putting yourself up in that 7, possibly 8-win threshold. For me, though, the 3 games I'm picking are none of the games against the ranked teams.
Okay.
So first for me, I'm starting with SMU. And if I know there are a lot of people, if you say, okay, well, I'm concerned BYU may lose a game in non-conference. Most people seem to go to that game at Wyoming. It's in Laramie. You have a history. To me, that one does not worry me as much as the SMU game does. So to me, if BYU can come out of that SMU game in Dallas with a win, I like their chances then of beating Wyoming and being 3-0. So for me in the non-conference, it's the SMU game that will determine a lot.
And that's a statement game. That's yes. Friday night, national TV.
Yep.
We're not last year's team. Done.
Yep.
You can make that sell in 3 hours.
The other two games for me, at Baylor and at Arizona State.
Okay.
So, yes, they're on the road, but to me, those are winnable games. And so those could be some swing games. And honestly, BYU's probably not going to be favored in either one. In fact, we're looking at this right now. BYU's got a 34% chance to beat Baylor, according to FPI, and a 42.4% chance to beat Arizona. So as of right now, BYU is not expected to win those games. But I think they're more than winnable. So those are the three games to me that will define the season, because they will be the ones that can dictate how high you go after, hopefully, you're getting some of those, you know, those ranked teams along the way.
Yeah, those are
so SMU, teams. Baylor, Arizona State.
All right, I'm going to go with Wyoming out of the gate. And here's the reason why. If BYU's 2-0, Wyoming's a trap game, because Kansas State's after that. If they are 1-1, Wyoming is a you got to win this game. Or you're 1-2 going into conference play. And so it's in Laramie and all of that stuff and the history. But BYU, if they want to be a big boy, they just got to show up and do big boy things. And that is line up, run the ball, beat Wyoming, no matter where you play them, and then come home. So Wyoming's number one on a defining type season, because that's a swing. You lose in Dallas and you lose in Laramie. Everyone's going to be waiting for November 5th when the basketball team comes out of the locker room at the Marriott Center. So I've got Wyoming there. And then I'm going to go with Oklahoma State. And the reason I'm going to Oklahoma State is BYU had them last year. Now, they got 21 starters back and all that stuff. They had those 21 guys last year, 24-6 at halftime. It's a statement that BYU is better than they were at the end of last season against Oklahoma State on a Friday night when Cougars play good at home in the dark on Friday night against these guys. And I put them in there because of those four ranked teams that are playing at Lavelle Edwards Stadium in front of 60,000-plus, you have to beat one of them.
Yeah.
You've got to entertain the home fans. You can't just go, hey, we're going to go out and win on the road. But when you come pay that big buck money and sit down with your family and we're going to lay an egg, so you got to win one of those. So I'm going to circle that one as a definer.
Okay. You third?
And then the third game, I'm going to go with Utah, because Utah is a definer for both teams every season. Doesn't matter if the Utes go to the Rose Bowl, they got beat in Provo that year, and then that's a thorn in their side back in 2021. When BYU has lost to Utah, it's a punch in the gut, no matter what happened in the other 11 games. So November 9th up in Salt Lake City, I don't believe that there's this giant gulf between BYU and Utah. In their last two games, the Cougars got beat in double overtime at Oklahoma State. Utah got beat by a bad Northwestern team in the Las Vegas Bowl. I don't think they're separated by the Utes are picked to win the league and BYU's picked to finish, what, 14th?
13th.
13th. But we'll see. But we'll see on that day, and that's the Super Bowl of the state. That's the definer of the – we're talking about that game for the next 12 months.
Yeah.
None of these other games
months,
we're going to talk about
years.
For 12 months.
We talk about these games forever, right? Yeah.
So Wyoming, Oklahoma State, and Utah, I think, are the three defining games of the 12.
Okay, well, that's our three games. Our question of the day is, what are your three games? What three games will define BYU football season? How do you feel about that? You can chime in using hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. First response coming in on X from CJ Real Hoops 1, not to be confused with CJ Real Hoops 2.
Of course.
SMU, Baylor, and UCF. If the Cougs can pull off just two wins among those three, they will be bowl eligible.
Okay. At Y for Life 1984, on X.
Good year.
Utah, Arizona State, and Houston. Even though most won't expect BYU to beat Utah, that game will factor a lot into how successful the season's viewed, for sure. The last two feel like two of the easier games on the schedule and are likely to win games to make a bowl and have a successful season. Houston, of course, is at the end of the season after Thanksgiving. Arizona State is the Saturday before Thanksgiving in Tempe, where 30,000 BYU fans are going to be at that game. That's going to be something to see. All right, I like that.
Kurt Benson on X says Utah, SMU, and Baylor.
Okay.
Says the rivalry game is always the biggest game, and the other two are winnable road games that could make a difference in BYU's quest for bowl eligibility.
Yeah.
A lot of variety on this, and that's the beauty of this. You know, everyone's going to have their own opinion, and we want to hear from you. Again, hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and on Instagram.
Do you remember way back when we were an independent and there were only three good games on the schedule?
Yeah.
Now we're trying to figure out which of the three we think
and they were
will
in September.
It. And they were all in September. Hey, did you hear what Blaine and David Nixon said last night?
Of course I did.
On After Further Review. If you didn't, or you'd like to hear it again, it's waiting for you at BYUSN.com. We started our player profiles for the upcoming season. A lot of fun on After Further Review. BYUSN.com.
Up next, the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell, joins us in studio to discuss what three games he believes will define BYU football season and his biggest takeaways from fall camp so far. This is BYU Sports Nation.
With average performances, multiple players have to be exceptional. And in football, there's always a surprise story based on the preseason poll to how things shake out. BYU, I think, is latching onto the hope that they are that surprising.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. Jason Shepard, Dave McCann, and we welcome in the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell. Hello, Greg. How are you?
Good morning, Jason. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Great to be with you.
I feel like we've let you down because we really missed an opportunity. Instead of doing, we could have had you on this show to do the interview yesterday. International Left-Handers Day, and you are a lefty.
I'm a southpaw.
Yeah, we gave a shout out to Steve Young instead of.
Clearly on the pecking order. I'm well down from Steve Young. Yeah.
But we're thinking of left-handed quarterbacks. We that there's Federick, Young, Pendleton. Do you remember any others?
Was Riley?
And Riley, Riley. Yeah, Riley. That's right. Yeah, how did we not think of Riley?
I brought up Riley.
I didn't think of him yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
All so right. anyway, so we apologize. We're doing this a day late, but we wanted to honor your left-handedness.
And what a day of celebration it was yesterday.
How Start did you celebrate,
finish,
by the way,
yesterday? Oh, it was crazy. My office was just buzzing yesterday. Yeah.
All right. So today we're talking about BYU's five ranked opponents and how many of those the Cougars need in order to feel comfortable about bowl eligibility. Both Dave and I said a minimum of two we think is probably, with everything else that could go on, could help. Where do you fall on that?
Yeah, I think two, you're in decent shape. Three, you're in probably pretty good shape. I'm of the opinion that however you get to six, you know, no matter how or when they come. But if you were to look at odds and averages, let's say you expect to win your FCS home game. Let's say you expect to win your Houston game at the end of the year. Let's say you feel you can win in Laramie. And let's say that Arizona State's a team you can beat. Well, now you're left with two games. And that maybe brings you to the number of two at that point. So, yeah, it's however you get there. Again, you could surprise and win games. People don't have you favored to win at this point. But the good thing about that slate I see there, and you guys have probably hit on this already, but, you know, four of the five come in your building, right? And so as tough a schedule as it is, and yes, they're one of those few teams that has to face all five of the ranked teams, you get four of them at your house. And that's got to be considered at least a leg up.
Thinking last year, 5-2, we were like, okay, we're a lock. And then
five chances to get to six. Yeah, it just never came.
It's hard to get there. It's hard to beat these teams.
Yeah.
If there are three defining games, which is the question we've thrown out there today, three games that will define the season, what's on your list?
Well, I think it's almost impossible to talk about defining games until after the season, because last year you might have said, well, if BYU can win at Arkansas, that would help define the season. Well, BYU did that, and it still didn't turn out the way BYU wanted. I think usually the defining games tend to come late in the year or past the midpoint of the season because that's when the stakes are the highest. You're fighting for maybe game five or six to get to a bowl game, or it's the Utah game. So I think the defining games would tend to come late naturally. But if we were to change the perspective, instead of what three games might be good indicators of where BYU might be this season, I think even though it's only an FCS game, I think the Southern Illinois game is a good place to start because it's a top 10 FCS. It's a good FCS team. They're top 10, and they had a ton of top 10 defensive stats last year. That's where they kind of hung their hat. So in an average FCS game, BYU's 18-0 all-time against FCS teams. The average score in those games is 48-10. Okay, against a good FCS team like Southern Illinois, can BYU get to the 30s and 40s? That's a good indicator of where BYU might be offensively. Yeah. Can it look like a typical FCS game? So I think the first game, even though it's only FCS, is a good indicator game of where this BYU team might be. Then I think the SMU game the next week, because it's an immediate test for how much BYU's improved defensively because of how good SMU is on offense. They bring back most of one of their best offenses in years from last year. And so week two, you go right into, has Jay Hill gotten the improvements he wants to see from his guys? It's a really good indicator just in week two. And I'm going to skip past the game at Laramie for the Big 12 opener against Kansas State. Because it is your first conference game, you were a 2-5 team in this league. K-State's one of the better teams in the league this year. It might give you a good indicator of where BYU is able to compete in the Big 12 this year. So in those first four games, I think you see three that give you really strong indicators of where this team might end up.
I like the point you made with Southern Illinois. Last year with Sam Houston, it was 14-0. And that became the indicator at the end of the season of the problems and challenges we saw against Sam Houston, dogged the team throughout. But at the time, maybe it was just a slow start.
Now, Sam Houston was technically an FBS team, but it was their first year in FBS. Yeah, they had been FCS. And then BYU did turn around and play an FCS team in Southern Utah 2 weeks later and did win 41-16. So it looked more like a typical FCS game that way. But Sam Houston would be more along the lines of a good, really good FCS team like Southern Illinois is. So, yeah, I think it's not a terrible place to start in terms of what the indicators might be for BYU.
We've said for some time the most interesting hour of this whole month is the postgame show on August 31st, because so much will be answered.
Everybody will be dissecting that game one way or the other. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like if BYU doesn't look great, it's going to be, oh, here we go again, you know, and if they look great, you'll probably be, well, good, but they were supposed to, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
well,
it's a weird deal.
My hope is BYU looks great and starters stay healthy and starters get rest.
Yep.
And you see some depth guys and you have a short week on the road at SMU the next week. It's a really important two-game start to the season for a couple of reasons. I think one being health and depth and keeping it through week one and then getting ready on a short week to take on a really, really good team on the road that now is technically a P4 team, right? You're playing an ACC team now in week two.
Fall camp continues to roll on. Has anything stood out to you? What have been your takeaways?
I like the fact that, you know, halfway through, we haven't had to hear from Kalani or Coach Roderick or Coach Hill about losing an important player for the season. Yes, there was the Ben Bywater news to open camp, but that was kind of already a development. So to this point, I think that the mainline, frontline players have stayed healthy. We haven't had to talk about those catastrophic injuries, and hopefully that stays true for the remainder of camp. I think the LJ Martin situation is nothing to worry about. I think he's going to be fine. I think they're pacing him like they said they were. If you can just get to game one with the guys you're expecting to be there, then I think that's half the battle. It's just keeping your guys. It's a hard month of football. It's a hard-hitting month of football, and they want to hit hard.
Yeah.
They want to set a tone. And so there's that balancing act and that fine line between how much football can you play and still keep everyone where they need to be. But so far it's worked perfectly, and I think that's a really encouraging sign.
Trevor Maddich was talking about the offensive line with us, and he said he wants to see, against Southern Illinois, the offensive line play every single possession like they're in the national championship game of finishing a play, driving your guy into the turf and all that stuff. 2 weeks in, the offensive line, you talk to TJ Woods, you talk to the linemen, they all feel great. They all feel like they're moving there.
And Coach Roderick echoes that and says, yet, he always puts this caveat. You know, A-Rod's saying, I love to talk about him and I'm saying good things about him, but it's all talk right now.
Yeah.
We've got to see it in a game. And yeah, let's see that run push. I think one of the areas we can hope for improvement in this next season, because of how much focus Coach Roderick and the offense have put on it, is that run push. The yards per rush number, the rushing game in general, just has to go leaps and bounds from where it was last year. And then in lockstep with that, I think you'll see the third down conversion number come up as well. It was under 29% last year, and that's just not feasible for productive offense. And Coach Roderick is aware of that as anybody. And so I think they do go hand in glove. If those run push numbers and early run gain improvements are shown, your third down conversion number will improve with it. And I think those are two huge keys for BYU in 2024. Coach Roderick talks a lot about how important it is for BYU to be a good running football team again, because they were around 3.5 yards a carry last year, and that number's got to come up, and everyone knows it. And I think the quarterback can be a part of that. Let's say it. I think the quarterback can be a part of those improved rush numbers this
almost
year.
Almost has to. He almost has to, right?
Yeah. Yesterday, one of our discussions on the program was the most underappreciated players on the roster. And we each picked one offense, one defense. I had Jacob Robinson and Cody Epps were mine. You had Keelan Marion and Harrison Tagger, right?
Harrison Tagger, yeah.
Who do you think on this roster is underappreciated?
Well, you know, I like Jacob, but he did get some attention in preseason magazines, second and third team picks. He's out there. You know, he's certainly someone that's notable. He's got 8 career picks. You add another 16 additional PBUs on top of that. He's got a pick 6 from last year. He's an impact player on defense, and people notice him. But I still think you could throw him in the underappreciated category. I think this could be a huge year for Jacob. If you were to pick a defensive player that maybe doesn't get the pub, I like Blake Mangelson. He's a guy that's been outside, can play inside, could be an inside starter for BYU this year. His tackle numbers have come up every year. He's gotten some TFLs, gotten a few more starts. I call him the Mangler.
That's great. Great nickname.
Yeah, yeah. I think Blake Mangelson's a guy that might be under the radar a little bit, but I think could be an impact player on the D-line for BYU this year. And offensively, it's tough to underappreciate the guy that touches the ball every play, but I think Connor Pay is just such a huge part of BYU's offense and will be an anchor for this team. And in so many ways is the perfect guy to play center for BYU football.
All right, let's ask another football question. We'll shift it to soccer, the international game of
the
football.
The other football.
You see the national polls come out. You see BYU number 3. The Big 12 poll comes out. You see them number 1. You know how many players they lost last season and how much offense is gone from last season. Is that a reputation? Are those reputation votes as opposed to this team really third in the country?
Yeah, I think the coaches are aware this team lost a lot. 7 pros. You lose 7 pros off a roster. That's a huge, departure. It's a Jen Rockwood vote. Yeah. And with all respect to the GOAT, I mean, this is coaches going, yeah, we know she lost a lot, but this is Jen Rockwood. She's a legend in the game. It's her 30th season. She finds a way to get results, regardless of the combination of players she has on the field. This is a program and a coach indicator, and that's awesome for BYU, the fact that she is the person in charge of this program. Yes, I mean, yeah, she recruits good players, and it's always been about players, but she is the program. And they are saying, you know what, yeah, we know she's lost some players, but we trust her to be good because she's always good. That's just how it is. Yeah. Now, Jen is coaching a different kind of team, right?
She's a realist here.
It's a different group, right? Yeah. But her challenge will be to find the strengths and maximize them. She's going to find the fittest, the most durable, the most dependable, the most focused players, and put them in the right spots to win, whether they're upperclassmen or the young kids. And there are minutes to be had on this team this year. And so how exciting will it be for some of those freshmen to grab hold of some of those jobs this year and grow into them, with the expectation that upperclassmen will lead as they're leaned on to do so? But I'm truly fascinated. It could be a season where it doesn't look maybe typical off the start, but it grows into something pretty special by the end.
Well, and BYU is going to have a great opportunity right out of the gate. Top 20 matchup with Wisconsin coming to Southfield tomorrow night. Just a quick preview on the game that we'll have on ESPN+.
Yeah, fascinating game in that you've got 2 programs, each with 24 NCAA tournament appearances, 2 head coaches, each who've gone to the Sweet 16 or deeper 9 times. Two long-standing coaches, Coach Wilkins for Wisconsin's in her 24th year, Jen's in her 30th. They were a tournament team last year, lost to Texas in the second round, as it turns out. You know, they play Big Ten soccer, and a really solid challenge for BYU to open the year. Find out immediately kind of where you stand. Now, they're coming off an exhibition loss, 2-0 over the weekend to Missouri, so they maybe try to figure a few things out as well. Yeah. Intriguing, compelling matchup. We're excited to have it on ESPN Plus tomorrow night.
Place will be packed. It'll be something.
Yep. Back at Southfield.
Yes.
No better place. Yeah.
It's going to be electric. Place always is, right?
It is.
Such an advantage for BYU. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Always my pleasure.
All right. We'll see Greg upstairs.
Yes, yeah. We will.
In just a few minutes.
We'll see him tomorrow night.
That's right.
Hey, if you missed any of our interviews or our special reports, they're all waiting for you at BYUSN.com. Go there anytime. They're also on our BYU TV YouTube page. We're here for you 24-7.
24-7, Dave McCann. Would we like to see BYU basketball renew the rivalry with either Gonzaga or St. Mary's? And a catch from the newest Nacua that's reminiscent of his brother. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day. YouTube, Instagram, X, Facebook, TikTok, we're everywhere for you.
You're a big TikTok guy, right?
I'm not a TikTok guy.
Neither am I. Welcome back.
I'm in the other places. I'm not on
Welcome TikTok. Back to Studio B, Jason Shepherd and Dave McCann. It's time for our trivia. It's time for us to be humiliated as we welcome
hey,
in.
Hey, I think we've gotten the last two.
Hey, we've got 50%. Of the last two questions.
We got yesterday.
It's true. So let's welcome in our producer, Colton Potter, who's going to ask us a trivia question as we continue to celebrate 100 years of BYU football. What do you got for us today, Colton?
Okay, today's question, since 1972, what is the fewest amount of points BYU has scored in a win?
Ooh, in a win.
Win. Since 1972.
Oh.
Lavelle Edwards' first year as
yes.
a 1972.
Yeah. Fewest points in a win. Wow.
I'm going to go. They beat Utah State 6-3.
See, six is what I was thinking
I'm
as well.
Go six
Let's
to
go
three.
With six.
Got a touchdown, missed the extra point.
Yeah, six.
6-3.
6-3 against Utah State is correct. October 5th, 2012.
That's back to back Aggie questions.
Yes.
That we've gotten right.
Look, and I know it's very easy after you've given the answer for me to say that, oh, that literally was what I was going to say. So I do feel like I helped out with this.
Should I believe that right now?
Look,
I believe that.
I signed the honor code too, okay?
Blaine and I called that game. It was 6-3. You don't remember, you don't unforget some 6-3
yeah.
exciting ball games.
All right, let's get to today's headlines.
Week 3 of football camp continues. Some highlights were posted yesterday. There goes LJ Martin, his appearance in the 11-on-11 drills. First time we've seen that this camp. Tay Nacua, brother of Kai, Samson, and Puka, making a Nacua type catch. That was one of the big plays of the day right there. And then he left his helmet on, so we didn't get a 15-yard penalty, but he did spin the football. More on this catch coming up in just a bit.
Daniel Schneeman pinch hit for the Cleveland Guardians in a 2-1 win over a certain person's favorite team, the Chicago Cubs, yesterday.
Come on.
Schneeman right now hitting .220 for the Guardians, who are tied with the Los Angeles Dodgers for the best record in all of Major League Baseball.
Hope he has a great week of baseball after today. BYU golfers Max Brenchley, Zach Jones, Cole Ponich, and Tyson Shelley played the first two rounds of the U.S. Amateur Championships over in Minnesota. All four missed the cut. They gave it a shot, missed the cut.
It happens.
Yeah, now they're coming back.
All right, those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it.
So BYU football posted this grab from Tay Nacua.
Yep.
That we just showed you a moment ago. It reminded us of his older brother's great game-winning catch against Boise State. Talking about Puka, because Samson has some nice catches
yes.
too. So who did it better, Tay or Puka?
Look, Puka gets the
circumstances
nod.
Circumstances are completely different.
Yeah. I mean, I'm taking in context here as well. Puka's at Boise State. I mean, it's an unbelievable catch. I'm not taking anything away from Tay, but Puka's catch was the game winner at Boise State, and it was unreal.
This was just practice.
Look, there's plenty of time for Tay to rival, but look at this catch.
Oh, that's awesome.
Look at that catch, the degree of difficulty,
so
it's through the roof.
You disagree?
No. Yeah. No, it's so good. Here's what the cool thing about Tay that BYU didn't have with Sampson or Puka is Tay's a freshman, and he's already here.
Yes, yes.
Sampson went up north for a little bit and then got here for his swan song. One of his greatest catches was a touchdown against the Utes that he promised his grandma he would do. And then Puka was at Washington and then came here. Tay's here, right,
he's here
from,
right
the
from the start.
So let's just see what we could do with 4 years of a Puka.
I'll take that.
And of course, Kai was great playing on the defensive side of the ball back in his day.
All right, yesterday the Minnesota Vikings announced that rookie quarterback J.J. McCarthy is going to need knee surgery and he's going to be out for a while. Don't know a timetable as of yet. Does this mean that Jaren Hall makes the Vikings roster?
Not sure. Don't wish injuries on anybody. Sometimes injuries create opportunities for other people. This is certainly one of those. The Vikings play the Browns on Saturday. Jaren's going to have to look good. I feel like he's got to earn his keep. He didn't look great last week, except at the end when he drove the team down when it mattered and they kicked a game-winning field goal. He looked good on that drive. But yeah, I don't know. If they keep three, then absolutely.
Yeah.
If they're still going to keep two and then have McCarthy on his on the mend, I'm not sure. But it's certainly better for him today than it was yesterday morning.
100%. And I'm with you. If they keep three quarterbacks in addition to the injured McCarthy, then I think he makes it. The biggest question in that scenario, is he going to be the backup to Darnold or is he going to be the third string quarterback? Because right now, Darnold's going to be the guy. And then you've got Nick Mullen and then Jaren fighting for that backup spot. So in that scenario, is he going to be the backup and one play away from getting into the game, or is he going to be the third string?
Yeah, and Darnold's not great. It's not like he's the answer. So whoever's behind him could be playing after week three.
It's true.
You know, I mean, Jets quarterbacks, you know, there's something about them.
Yeah.
Now we hope Zach, you know, sheds that a little bit. But having Darnold, the Vikings aren't contenders with Darnold. It's just, he's supposed to be the guy until McCarthy catches up. But now that he's hurt, all bets are off.
Yeah.
So an opportunity there for sure. With Arizona joining the Big 12 and UCLA joining the Big 10, the two rivals decided they wanted to keep playing each other. So they announced a three-game series over the next three seasons. Would you like to see BYU do something like that with their WCC rivals, Gonzaga or St. Mary's?
No, in a word, no.
You're done with both.
I'm perfectly fine. If they want to play a football series, we can do that. Oh, wait. Look, BYU does not, we had this discussion.
That was cold-blooded.
BYU does not need to have any more quad one games added to their schedule with what they've got in the Big 12. So, no, I don't see any need to play Gonzaga or St. Mary's unless it's in the NCAA tournament.
I would like to see BYU play San Diego State every year, like they had the last couple. They're not playing them this year. There and here, every other. I just think that's, one, it's a great game. It doesn't hurt you with the RPI. And we've got a good relationship with Dutcher and the Aztecs. So I would like to see that. Or UCLA or something like that, but you're right. We don't need to mess with these guys. We see these guys, we'll see them in the tournament.
That's right, that's what I'm saying. If we play them, let's go ahead and just meet in the tournament and see how it goes then. All right, after the break, Allie Fryer of BYU Women's Soccer will preview tomorrow's top 20 matchup at South Field. This is BYU Sports Nation. It's going to be electric.
It's going to look very different than any team you saw last year.
But the cupboard's not entirely empty.
Allie Fryer, the star forward who's returning with multiple goals, such a great player and has progressed every single year. No doubt she will be a player that the Cougs are looking to.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Jason Shepherd alongside Dave McCann. And let's talk some BYU women's soccer. The season starts tomorrow.
The long wait is over.
It is finally over. And to help us preview the matchup and talk about the season is star junior forward Allie Fryer. Allie, thanks for taking a few minutes. We appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We are doing excellent. Now, this is, for those who are local, they know the type of weather that we have been dealing with the last 2 days, and certainly last night, we had one heck of a thunderstorm blow through the area. Did you guys get caught in that during practice? Did you guys make out of that situation all right?
We definitely got caught in the weather yesterday, but Luckily, Jen had us go to the IPF, the indoor practice facility. So we were able to practice and not get drenched. So that was nice.
Reminded me of the storm before the BYU-Texas game in 2013.
That was nuts.
No one had anywhere indoors to go and do. We just had to ride it out. Allie, the coaches rank your team number 3 in the country. The Big 12 coaches rank you number 1 in the conference. That's the outside expectation. What are yours for this season?
Mine are the same. I think that they ranked us high for a reason because BYU soccer has always been great and they expect great results from us and we're ready to produce that for people. So I think the hype is there for a reason.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. You've obviously been in the program for a while and you know what this program means. It's going into its 30th season. This is year number 30 for the program. What's it like to be a part of a program like this that year in and year out, you know that the expectations are high because that's the standard that's been set?
I think it's just great to be a part of a program like that. Greatness is expected from you and it's built here. It actually said that behind me, but just Jen is just a great coach and she's made such a great program for BYU. And I think that's awesome. So
now, Allie, when you're in the locker room, you lost 11 teammates from last year's College Cup team, which is the Final Four of soccer. Do you look around and just go, where is everybody? Where are all my friends?
Yes, sometimes it's definitely different in the team room. Just all of the older girls are sitting in the front row, and now it's just a complete different front row now, and that's interesting to see, but it's awesome. I like this year that we get to rebuild, and it's just something new that we can work on, and it's fun. So
you and Aaron Bailey are the top returning goal scorers. You guys each scored 10 last year. What do you view as your role this year? Because I assume as somebody that's been in the program, there will be a leadership role. Certainly they're going to look to you and others to be the goal scorers. So how do you view your role this upcoming season?
I definitely see myself more as a leader this year, but I also think that my role shouldn't change much at all. I think I'm just going to keep playing the way that I play, and my teammates need to step up to their own roles as well. And when we all play a part in our role and we do it well, then we're going to work well together. Not just an individual game.
As the leader, though, we get to ask you this question. Those two exhibition games, no goals scored by the Cougars after leading the country in goal scoring last year. Does that concern you going into tomorrow night?
No, I think honestly it was great that we got to experience that now so that during our preseason play, then we can get all of those nervous feelings and that we can go out there and show people what we're made of. So
what did you learn, Allie, in those two exhibition games? Because playing two exhibition games is rare. Coach Rockwood's never done that. So the fact that you were able to play two exhibition games, what did you come out of that learning about you guys?
I think we learned a lot about just playing together. I think that sometimes each of us think that we need to do more than we have to, really, and that when we play together, then we play better. So that's just the main thing I think that we took out of that.
Here come the Badgers. They're number 19 in the country, so we have a top 20 showdown on opening night at South Field. Give us a sneak preview on Wisconsin. What challenges did they pose?
Honestly, just being a top 20 team, you should expect them to be a good team. But I think as long as we play the way that we know how to play, then we should be able to do good. But they're going to be a good competition for sure. But I think we're ready to handle it.
We know the atmosphere at South Field and just how crazy that can be and the attendance records that seem to be set year after year. I mean, we saw in the exhibition against Wyoming, the place was packed. What type of environment do you expect against Wisconsin, having them come here and it being the regular season opener? How crazy you think it's going to get coming up tomorrow night?
I think it's going to be awesome, and I hope it's going to be crazy. I love Cougar Nation. There's really nothing like it. And the energy you feel when we have all those fans out there, nothing can compare. It's seriously just electric. So I'm super excited. I think it's going to be crazy, and it's going to be a fun game.
We do know that The Rock takes great pride in disrupting things with the opponent. And they're certainly, are they worth an extra player or sometimes maybe two when they're fully engaged in a match?
Yes, they are a huge part of our team. I don't think they understand how much their energy helps us and helps us to do better, because on away games, we still have a lot of that support, but there's nothing like having that rock section there for us.
You got some preseason recognition as part of the All Big 12 team. What do those types of accolades mean to you?
I think it's awesome. I'm super honored that they would do that for me, but I think that sometimes stuff like that doesn't really matter as long as you're just playing the game and you love it. But I think that it's awesome and I'm super proud, but there's a lot more to come this year. So
let's finish with this one. Second year in the Big 12. Team did great last year, but what lessons were learned at this high level of athletic competition that'll help you this year, especially now that Texas and Oklahoma are out?
I think that we've learned a lot, that the Big 12 brings a lot of notoriety and there's a lot of spotlight on us that there wasn't before entering the Big 12. But I think that Oklahoma and Texas leaving, it's going to be great for us, because Texas did give us a good game in that championship game. Mm-hmm. But so I'm glad to see them leave. But I think this year will be awesome. And it's just a higher level of play, which is great for the program. And we're ready to handle that.
Well, Allie, we're excited to see you and your teammates take the field tomorrow as the regular season finally gets underway at South Field. It's a top 20 matchup between the Cougars and the Wisconsin Badgers. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes. Good luck in that game. Certainly good luck this season. We're going to give you some BYU Sports Nation karma to take into that game and the season. And good luck. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to BYU junior forward Allie Fryer for joining us.
Looking forward to Thursday night. Here are the details. 9:00 Eastern time, this top 20 matchup at South Field. BYU and Wisconsin. Greg Rubel on the call. This one should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. What three games do you believe will define BYU football season? More responses coming up after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU radio apps or listen to the podcast. We invite you to subscribe, rate, and review.
Our question of the day: what three games will define BYU football's season?
It's a good question.
It is a good question. We've had a lot of really good responses and a lot of varying responses, which is kind of what I thought was going to be the case with this today. This one coming in on Instagram, Andrew Peterson, 7465.
He's going with the big guns.
Like he's going right to the jugular here. Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and Utah. Okay. Three big opportunities for upsets. Well, we can't argue with that. Those are three juggernauts
on
the schedule.
We're thinking defining games. Those would certainly
certainly define.
All right, Tater Coug on X. Is that Taysom? Is Taysom?
It may be his burner account.
Southern Illinois, SMU, and Baylor. SIU, Southern Illinois, shows us where we are against a team that we have to be better than. SMU shows us what our ceiling is. Baylor may be the game to decide whether we make a bowl game. So SIU, SMU, and Baylor. Okay.
On X, Jared Buckeye says SIU, SMU, and Wyoming.
First three.
Yeah, the first three. Look, feels like 3-0 is a must if we want to make a bowl game. Look, and I can't argue. Again, there's no wrong answers here, but I can certainly understand the rationale here that if you don't start 3-0, you're immediately sort of behind where you want to be, knowing what the rest of the schedule looks like. So I like that response.
BHW32 on Instagram poses a question about the three defining games. Is BYU still healthy after Kansas State, Arizona, and Oklahoma State?
Okay.
I love the Kansas State game because it's the first Big 12 conference game at home.
Yep.
And health is never really an issue that early in September. Whereas the backside of last season, after BYU lost Keaton Slovis and a slew of others, Bywater and Nelson, put together by Band-Aids, where they actually played their best football those last two games for the most part. So, all right, good question. Will they still be healthy?
Well, we're going to assume this whole time health is 100%.
Yeah.
That's what we want to hear, right?
That's how we roll in August.
Yes, we do. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from Hayden Shockley on Instagram. He says Southern Illinois, Utah, and Houston.
Okay.
First game sets the tone. Rivalry is always huge, and last game might determine a bowl. I like the thought process.
Yeah, the Utah game is always the definer. When Auburn's been lousy and they rise up and take down Alabama, that's all that yep. means to those folks for the rest of the year. Likewise for BYU and Utah. It's a game that means the same to both.
All right, today's Rise and Shout Out is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, and we're going to give it to LJ Martin. It was just good to see him back out on the field, participating in 11-on-11 team drills yesterday. Had the long run. Those who are watching on BYU TV seeing that right now.
We open the show with optimism, and we close it with optimism.
I love it. Our thanks to today's guests, Greg Wrubell and Allie Fryer.
Conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows are on demand at BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I'm Jason. Shout out to JJ DeLuigi. We'll see you tomorrow for another episode of BYU Sports Nation. Noon Eastern. Go Cougs.